I'm enjoying the presence of the Lord, aren't you? His blessing makes all the difference in our worship, in our attempt, in the human, with our limitations. But oh, I'm glad to know that He is still visiting His people. Still visiting His people. I am aware of the time, and I'm not really with a strong urge to preach tonight. I brought at least three sermons with me. Labored much throughout the day trying to find the will of God for this service. And my dad sent me a text message around 7 o'clock before that, and he said something in regards he was praying for us. And I know a number of people that are in this congregation, you're praying and seeking God, and we can tell that God is answering and He is moving. Some of my congregation has sent me messages throughout the week. They're praying, and I tell you, that's encouraging. I sent a message back to my dad and said, I need clear direction for the service tonight. And I'm not going to preach this sermon, but I'm going to leave you some words of encouragement because I believe it's right in line with what we have already sang about tonight, what we've already lifted, what we've already testified to in the last song. I know He heard my prayer. Romans chapter 4. Romans 4. The theme of justification by faith is introduced to us in the first chapter of Romans 1. And in chapter 4, we have an Old Testament patriarch who was used as an example or an illustration as to great faith. A number of years ago, while I was in a camp meeting service, I think it was a camp meeting or it was a gathering at a minister's convention. I heard a fellow testify, and he used the words that I want to give to you tonight. And it so touched my heart and challenged me. And I said, oh God, help me to live this way. Talks about Abraham, a man of faith. Verse 16 said, who is the father of us all? And as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. It's an interesting statement. We're not going to explore that tonight, but you go and in your studies, you look at that thought, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith. What a statement. Being not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God. Through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Notice verse 21, and being fully persuaded. I like that. Hallelujah. Are you persuaded tonight? Oh, as our brother led us in that first song, my heart leaped with joy. I know in whom I have believed. Are you that persuaded tonight? In the God that we say that we love, and we know that He is God, and He is the God of promises who never fails. Being fully persuaded that which He had promised, He was able to perform. Well, that's shouting ground. Amen. He staggered not. What does that mean? He did not doubt, waver, hesitate, nor stumble. Now, when we follow the footsteps of this great patriarch, we find that he was not a man without fault. He was a man who had weak moments in his life, but the overall theme of his life was he was a man who heard the call of God, and his journey of faith began with a call. God called him to a life
of trust. He was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance. Abraham was a native of the city of Ur on the west bank of the Euphrates. He seems to have been well to do. He was a descendant of Shem, Noah's youngest son, the one chosen by God to carry on the godly line. However, by the time that Shem's descendants ran through 8 or 9 generations, the knowledge among them of the true and the living God was just about lost. Think about that. In all likelihood, Abraham was virtually a pagan. Virtually a man who had no idea or no concept of the true and the living God. But somewhere out of the midst of the darkness of his spirit, there's a voice that calls to him, Abram, I want you to leave everything that you call home and everything that is comfortable to you and follow me, and I will make of you a mighty nation. Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful message. I mean, that's encouraging. That's inspiring. So Abraham obeys God, but you find years go by. What happened to the promise? Men and women, I simply want to come to you tonight with a challenge. Because I've lived long enough and I've pastored enough people to know that in every stage of our spiritual life, we are called to new moments of trust in God. We are saved by faith. We are sanctified by faith, and we are kept by faith. And I dare say in this congregation tonight that Satan is not going to trip us up to do some of the evil and the wicked things that our culture is involved in. But where Satan is coming with an all-out assault tonight against those who have professed to believe God and trust God is in our area of just simply standing and staggering not. When the years go by and we're praying and we're seeking God for the impossible and there's no evidence or proof that He is hearing or that He is moving. I'd love to give you lots of illustrations tonight, but I want to give you some content. And maybe I can close with an illustration or two. What is this faith? This Christian faith may be defined as man's acceptance of the revelation of God as given in Christ and recorded in the Holy Scriptures. Do you believe God's Word tonight? Do you believe that He has the grace to keep us in this hour? Men and women, all we need to do is roll back the very scenes of time and the pages of history. And we need to look to God's people who have lived in dark days before. I look to Brother Noah and I find that he was a man who lived in a very corrupt and vain and wicked age. But through it all, God gave him grace. I love that verse in Genesis chapter 6 where it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." I come to encourage you tonight that the same God who stood by Noah is going to stand by you and me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I've proven Him true over and over and over again. And I've come to new mile markers in my spiritual journey. It was just a few weeks ago, matter of fact, a few days ago, when my dear wife said to me something in regards to our financial needs. And she said, "What happens if this takes place?" And my simple response was to her, "Honey, it's called trust. Trust." I can look back over almost 19 years of ministry now, and I can see time and time and time again that God has met our needs. And when I look back and I begin to see what God has done, I'm encouraged to trust Him for today and for tomorrow and for the future. I tell you, we serve a big God tonight. I still believe He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And He's able to supply the need spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. You can apply it to every area of your life. Hallelujah. Oh, Abram, he was a man who just went out and said, "God, I'm going to do Your will no matter what." I tell you, that inspires me. That inspires me. And I believe God is looking for you and me in this hour to just simply stand upon His Word. For God has said, and what He has said, He is still able to do. I believe we serve a God of impossibilities. The things that are still thought impossible with man are still possible with our God. Do you believe that tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I'm encouraged in Him. I came to church not feeling too well. I have fought some kind of a poor feeling in my stomach all week, but or all day. But as I came to church tonight and God began to move, I got encouraged. I thought, I wonder if that's just an old attack of the devil trying to hinder the meeting. Well, I want you to know I'm trusting God. I'm believing Him. I'm encouraged by this service tonight. I'm encouraged that God hasn't forgotten about us. While on others, He's still moving. He's still moving upon you and I. Aren't you glad for that? That tonight. Hallelujah! I'm rejoicing in Him because He is a God who cannot fail. I can fail. I do fail. Anybody else honest enough to confess you failed? Oh my, we live in a world of failures, don't we? Buy a new gadget or a gizmo? Is that too big of words for y'all down here? Bring it home from the store, plug it in, and it don't work. And then you have frustration because it says made in China. Buy a new car. I have friends and family who have bought new vehicles, thought, you know what, now I've got a manufacturer's warranty and everything's going to be real cozy for the next 4 years or 100,000 miles. And before 20,000 miles, they were ready to push this thing over the cliff and collect insurance. I said they were ready to. I didn't say they did. Things of this world are subject to fail. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to transcend into the next world and realize that God cannot fail. He cannot fail. You see, there are things that are entrusted to us by God, life experiences. Shake our faith. I don't know how much to share. But Abram faced a crisis. I wished we could live in a world where there were no crises. I really do. Where there were no sorrows, no disappointments. But men and women in those hours, God still wants us to trust Him. I mean, how impossible is it for a man of the age of Abram? And look at Sarah's age. Look at the impossibility. Listen to the laughter. Listen to the people who said there's no way. But God had promised. And the Scripture says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's God's will for you and me. That we give Him glory. Do you always live on a mountaintop? Do you? One fellow said, I don't always live there, but I keep my mailbox there. I love mountain views. When we moved to South Carolina, wow. I said, if my rich uncle would just leave me $1 million, well, you got to have a rich uncle first. You know, folks say, you know, when my boat comes in, you got to send one out first. I said, I'd just love to build a cabin. Not a mansion, just a cabin. And dwell on the mountaintop until I went up there and felt the wind. And I said, the valley's not too bad after all. I need to get on the right side of the mountain. Spiritually, I'd love to live in the heights of glory. That's one of the struggles that people have sometimes when they're just in the trenches and life is mundane and, you know, there's no shouts and there's no real evidence or proof that God's moving. The church is just kind of standing still and folks are looking for activity. I remember a few years ago I was sitting in a board meeting and it was a Sunday night after the service and we had our board meetings. It was convenient because we had some that worked night schedules. We were involved in a building program. I was working full-time in construction, and I was overloaded, and so was my family in a lot of ways. But God was helping us. Well, I looked for encouragement from my members, you know. Here we are about to start this board meeting, and a dear sister spoke up and said, we need a new spark in our church. Some folks just live on excitement. I mean, if there's nobody getting saved and there's nobody shouting the victory, they feel like maybe it's time to move on. We need a new spark in our church. Now, the Lord has not always given me this kind of boldness. And this is probably one time that I spoke before I thought. But I looked right at the dear sister and I said, "By the way, did you bring it tonight?" Now, that might guarantee the preacher, you know, one of those big yellow or orange trucks coming down his driveway. I said, "Sister, did you bring it?" I looked over at her husband, and he was grinning like a possum. "Go for it, preacher." He knew her well. He was saying, "Amen." Simply saying that faith in God stands the test even when it seems like there's no light coming through. God help us. Abram held on. There's no cries of a baby. I wonder how long they had a baby crib in the house. God had promised. I wonder how many little ladies in their spiritual gatherings sewed those little baby blankets, put them, you know, ready. We're believing God. I know they hadn't been to Walmart for that new bag of Pampers. That wasn't around then. But they had all the provisions. Wonder how long. You say, "Preacher, you're reading between the lines." You go ahead and just be quiet. Think what you want. Use your imagination a little bit. God had spoken. Abram was believing God, trusting God. And yet there were no sounds of a newborn in that house. I want to ask you, do you think the devil came along? Do you? Do you think Abram faced the devil? Do you ever face the enemy? You know, sometimes he comes to church. He does. Satan wants to steal your confidence in God. Because if he can win that battle, he's going to draw us away until no longer can we look to the one who has promised. I come to encourage you tonight. Abram said, "I still believe God." I like what it says in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to give you a couple of verses from there, and then I'll just bring this to a close. If you'd like to look with me in Hebrews 11, you find that Abraham's name is mentioned there in verse number 7. In verse number 6, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible. Notice that statement. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe God's a rewarder tonight? Praise God. He's not going to mock us. He's not going to call us to a life of trust and then just leave us. But He's going to send His Holy Spirit to witness to our heart that the work is done. You can talk about saving grace. God's not going to call us to a life of saving grace where He says, "Trust me," and then just leave us without the witness. I still believe in the witness of the Spirit. Do you? I believe that God seals to our heart. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which He hath promised. I still believe that. Abram says, "I believe God by faith." Abram, in verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, look what the verse says. He obeyed. There's the key. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. You ever feel like you're a stranger in this world? When you talk about believing God and trusting God, strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I love verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city tonight? Are you? Are you? I'm more excited about heaven than I've ever been in my whole lifetime. Chorus says, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. The more is that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, Brother Ziegler, every once in a while, I try not to do it too often. I don't want to wear the thought out. But when I invite them and welcome them into worship as we start our service, I'll say, people, we're one Sunday closer to heaven. Is that your goal, heaven? It's going to take faith. Faith. Abram had that faith. He looked far beyond. Imagine, he didn't have the word that we have tonight. We have so many promises. We have so many proofs. Read the stories how God's moved over and over and over again. If that don't challenge you, my friend, I don't know. We need to have prayer. God hath promised. He's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Is it Brother Enoch? Who was one day walking with God? And one writer said, he was not, for God took him. Tonight when we were worshiping the Lord, I thought, oh my, what if this is the time? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Be in church when Jesus comes back. When the sound of the trumpet, now I'm enjoying listening to these wind instruments. Some of you might have noticed tonight I turned my cell phone on. I wasn't playing games, okay? I have my cell phone for one purpose, that's to communicate with people. I don't like to play games on them. I just don't have any interest in it. But I was calling my dad. He's not been able to get to church in almost, over 3 months to his home church because of physical problems. A lot of times I'll do this. Not as much recently as I have in the past, but knowing he can't get in church, and I'll dial his number and open my phone up. No, it's not as clear as he would like it to be. He'll hear the songs, and it'll bless his heart. And I thought as we were singing, I wonder what a wonderful experience it'd be if it'd be just now. Jesus. Jesus. Look over and say, Michael, go ahead and sound the trumpet. It's time. It's time. Abram was living for that day. Not Michael. Gabriel. Listen, man. Celebrate. The hour has come for God's children. It's going to take faith to keep you to that hour. I've fought some battles and you're fighting some battles tonight. I don't know what you came into this service with, but men and women, I come to encourage you to stay on your prayer bones and stay before God. Keep your heart open to His voice. If you're discouraged, seek God for encouragement. If you're fighting a battle of sorrow, take that to the Lord and leave it there, for He is a God who cares for us more than you and I could ever imagine, and He is able to lift us out of that darkness of sorrow. Maybe you have children who've gone wrong and they have burdened your heart and you've prayed. I come tonight to encourage you, keep praying and trusting God. He's a God who is able. He staggered not. Would you like that to be your testimony? Would you like for God to testify about you that I didn't waver, but I just held steady until the day? The day. Oh, I'm living for that day. I'm living for that day. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Sunday night, I've got to close. Forgive me. I'll stop here. Sunday night, we had the GBS Symphonic Wind and String Ensemble at our church. And they opened up with a little song. And I really don't know the words well enough to it, but I know enough to identify with what they were playing. Here I come to worship. Here I come to bow down. Here I am to give praise to my King. And I was thinking around our church over the last year, we've lost a number of old saints. I mean those diehard, stand true servants of God who just stood by the church. And here we are listening to all of these instruments lifting, and it was beautiful. And I thought, oh my. I wonder what those saints could teach us about praise right now. in heaven, free of the limitations of this old physical body, having a glorified body. Here I come to worship. I want to see that day. Do you? I remember what the old saints used to testify. I want to see the end of this Christian race. And by God's grace, we can make it. That's shouting ground tonight. And He has the grace. And to Him who is able to keep you from falling. Hallelujah! And present you blameless or faultless before our Savior, Jesus Christ. Abraham staggered not. Stand together.